Hello everyone, welcome back to It's a Wonderful Podcast, the main show. Nolan, you have chosen a particularly, well, is it even a silly movie? I was going to say it was a silly movie, but is it? Or is it a weirdly self-serious 50s sci-fi movie that maybe at some times doesn't even know, I think, what tone it wants to go for? But you picked it. I'm excited to discuss it, Nolan. It's episode 196 of the main show. And what was this 50s sci-fi movie you chose for our discussion this week?
A movie in which a 50-year-old Steve McQueen convincingly plays an 18-year-old man, which then gets attacked by my nan's favorite dessert before becoming an official prequel to The Thing.
I like it. I like everything there. Let's get everything off our chest first. I think we're talking about The Blob, 1958's The Blob, not 1988's The Blob,
which I'm told is way more graphic.
Is it? If this was, you know, for example, if you were Janine right now, I'm sure we would have done an installment of Deja Vu for this movie, where we would have watched the 1988 remake. But as it is a episode with you, that is no such installment on these episodes. We just go original and original only.
As I hear, the 80s remake is kind of similar to, like, the difference between the 50s fly and the Goldblum fly.
Ah, okay.
So it's way more dark and gruesome and way more 80s.
Okay.
You can watch it for free on YouTube.
Oh, well, I mean, if we're, you know, killing the movie industry, you could also, you know, rent the movie or buy the movie or do something to help the movie. But, you know, some of us have morals, Nolan.
It is also, I believe, did you ever read Goosebumps as a child?
A little bit, yes.
I believe this is what Monster Blood was referring to.
Okay.
They always call back to, like, classic horror stuff in those books, and this is definitely, like, The Blob is Monster Blood, for sure.
The Blob is a indescribable mass, isn't it? That's the point of The Blob. That's why it's just called The Blob, and that's why for all of this movie's only, I think, about 85 minutes, it's really quite short. Everybody seems very hesitant onto what to actually call The Blob. They must refer to it as a mass, a gel, ooze,
a parasite.
A thing a lot of the time. Nobody ever calls it a blob, which I found weird. But, you know, that was just a title, I suppose. I did read that they were originally going to call it The Glob, which I think is way worse.
That sounds like something that a lunch lady would feed you in a Horrid Henry book.
Here's a plate full of glob. What's in the glob? Oh, well, that's for me to know and you to find out. That's what's in the glob. Could be anything in the glob. Human beings' remains could be in the glob.
And you students that went to detention.
Exactly. Human beings' remains are, of course, actually in the blob, because that's the point of the blob. It consumes people. It's just endless.
And it gets slightly redder as it does it.
It does. As it fills with blood, it gets redder.
Which I heard they did with a red vegetable dye, like a food colouring.
Okay. I like that. I do like the effects, I must say.
The visual effects of the movie are groundbreaking, without a doubt.
They are lovely. They are so very 50s, and I adore them deeply.
They're so 50s, but they don't look dated.
And well, no, I don't think they do. I mean, there's a little bit of back projection going on, isn't there? Sure. There's a little bit of kind of double exposure, it seems, going on.
And you could show this movie to a modern audience, and I think it would be as effective.
I think
And now, forgive me if I may be wrong on this, or maybe not forgive me, condemn me if I'm wrong on this, I suppose, that you may have enjoyed this movie slightly more than I did.
That's quite possible, yeah. I think it's just a really fun, silly B-movie thing that's just embracing what it is. Whereas I know what your taste in horror is. You tend to go for the more sort of minimalistic, abstract kind of stuff.
Well,
like, you would rather watch, say, The Omen than you would A Nightmare on Elm Street. You may like both of those things, but
yes,
your taste leans more towards The Omen.
I mean, with those two movies, yes, I would say you're possibly correct. However, I think that would be an isolated incident. What I wanted to kind of bring up most, I suppose, in my feelings towards The Blob, because I'd never watched The Blob before. This was a first-time watch for me. So I'm very happy to have watched the movie for the first time, a fairly important sci-fi movie in movie history that it is. But I said it in my intro, I felt like it was very self-serious, where it kind of shouldn't have been, at least to me. I think if the movie had have embraced its campiness a little bit more than it did, I would have preferred it way more. It wasn't theatrical enough, I don't think, for me. And it wasn't as schlocky. It was in between being real fun schlock, which is a perfectly legitimate type of movie to make. Some of the most entertaining horror movies are very campy, very over the top, very theatrical, very not that serious. Whether it wanted to be that, or whether he wanted to be like a genuinely deep, meaningful 50s sci-fi movie, 50s sci-fi horror, that we also do get. It felt like it was in between, and at times it felt like it wasn't quite sure which path it wanted to take. Do you understand that?
I feel like you wanted it to be more along the tone of something like Reanimator.
Possibly. But also, I mean, I think you brought up The Fly before, and I think the, you know, likening this movie and its 80s remake to The Fly and its 80s remake is probably quite appropriate. But I really like the 50s Fly, and yes, okay, maybe a little bit, that's because it's got Vincent Price in it, but he's not the lead in the movie. You know, there's a lot that I loved about The Fly, because I think The Fly was quite theatrical and weird and bizarre. And I felt like this should have been. Because it could have still, I think, embraced its kind of message that it was trying. It's kind of, nobody believes me, you know, look at this doom that's coming. Please help me. No, we're not going to believe you. You're just a weird teenager who looks like he's 55 years old, Steve McQueen. We're not going to believe you.
I mean, they couldn't have got like James Dean or something for this. I mean, was James Dean dead when this was made?
James Dean was dead when this was made, Nolan. That's very sad.
You could have gotten a Brando or something.
Could you have seen Brando in this? Brando, maybe in the early 50s, not in the late 50s. This is 1958. Brando, no. Brando's far too serious for this movie. Like I said, the movie doesn't know what, or maybe it does know what it wants to be, and maybe I'm being overly critical, and I'm not usually overly critical, I suppose.
I feel like you'd enjoy the 80s version more, because of the clips I've seen, it does embrace more of that campiness, but it's got that really 80s shock horror feel to it. Like, yeah, there are some scenes in it that are legit really upsetting and just full-on claustrophobic.
Maybe I should then. Maybe I should have done a little deja vu of my own and watched the remake as well. Thoughts and thinking, Nolan. Thoughts and thinking.
I do love the idea of the blob as a monster, though. It has no consciousness. It's just a thing that wants to consume shit.
Well, does it even want to, or does it just do it? It's got no... It's not. Is it sentient? Nobody knows. That's the good thing about it, is that it's very, very abstract as a monster.
Is it the thing that would have inspired the symbiote, is what intrigues me.
Ooh. That is a thought. I don't hate that idea.
Because, yeah, like, the opening where the, I believe it was just, like, some random old dude who just picks it up and is kind of curious about it, and it just wraps around his hand, kind of like a symbiote would.
It does. I'm going to be honest with you, though. That old guy at the beginning of the movie rather annoyed me. In fact, the doctor who gets consumed by the blob second in the movie really annoyed me, because in like the period of 2 or 3 minutes, he must have referred to this old man as old timer about 7 times. He just kept referring to him as, "Stay calm, old timer. We're just going to give you an injection, old timer. Don't worry, old timer. We'll get this blister," at one point, I think they refer to it as, "off you. No time. You'll be right as rain in the morning, old timer." Stop calling him old timer. He's got a name. Try and ask the man his name. That's just disrespectful.
But I also don't know if you've had blisters like that before, but that thing, way too big to be a blister. I worked in a kitchen. I've had my fair share of blisters.
Look, if anybody ever has a blister that's the size of your entire forearm and looks like it's a little bit alive, well, the blob might have become a reality. We might be all doomed to a consumable mass death.
His hand looks like, and I hate to bring this up because you know I'm not fond of the movie, but you know the cook in Sleepaway Camp who gets covered with the boiling water?
Yes, I don't know why you're not fond of Sleepaway Camp. There's only one reason you're not fond of Sleepaway Camp, and it's the shock element of it. And I know why, because I know what you're like.
Mm-hmm.
It's pure shock.
I get why people like it, but it's just not for me.
And I respect that opinion. I do not, however, respect the doctor in this movie at all, who constantly refers to this guy's old timer. Nor do I respect the old timer himself, because had he just left whatever he found alone and not decided to prod it with a big stick, the shell of the blob would not have opened like the egg of a xenomorph, and the blob would not have come out and attached itself onto his hand. If he'd
want this to
left
be a movie with Steve McQueen just driving off with his, I think it's his girlfriend, but looks like his daughter.
Steve McQueen, look, we've made jokes about it. The movie does do what every movie does, and it's why I always assumed as a child, or when I was a young teenager, that all American teenagers were just older than me. You know, American 13-year-olds looked and acted far older than British 13-year-olds, the 13-year-olds I knew when I was 13. But that's because I was watching movies and TV shows where the 13-year-olds were played by 18-year-olds. You know? And 17-year-olds. And in this movie, Steve McQueen's 28. And he's playing, what, 17?
He doesn't have the fresh face of, like an Andrew Garfield who could pull that youth off.
He doesn't. He has a weathered face. He has crow's feet on his eyes. He looks like normal Steve McQueen. Everybody always talks about the blob as being, oh, it's Steve McQueen's first big starring role, or it's an early big starring role for Steve McQueen. At this point, he's still going by Stephen McQueen, which is weird to see in the opening credits. And yes, we're going to talk about the opening credits, by the way, because the song is a little bit next level. But He looks like one of those people that as soon as they were born, they already looked like a full-grown adult in their face. You know, I don't think Steve McQueen ever had a childish face, you know. And yeah, that's not his fault. That's not his fault. He's very, you know, I suppose handsome in a way. He's very cool. He's always very cool in his movies. I like that about him. But in no way is he passing off as a 17-year-old in The Blob. I apologize about that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, he does a good job in the movie, at least. But why not just make him, like, a mid-20s guy?
Because I think the point of the movie is we're adults, we're not going to listen to teenagers. Look at them, the rebellious scum. That's the point of the movie, I think. That, the young people, they actually, you know, are concerned about the legitimate fear that we all should be concerned about, but we're all going to ignore them because they're young and idiots. That's the point of this movie. And I think when the movie does get into that story element to it, and Steve McQueen is allowed to act as competently as he obviously can, I think that's when the movie's at its strongest, weirdly, when The Blob is actually nowhere to be seen. As much as I loved the effects of The Blob. I like watching The Blob blob around the place and slide and glide and slip under doorways and slip through ventilation grates and all that kind of stuff. I love watching that. Of course I do.
I do love the little thing where it's they're all running outside the theater and you've seen the blob go through the vents and it says fully air conditioned.
Yes.
It's a clever little wink to the audience there.
And there's a few of those. There is a few of those. And I like that. I do like that. But I really did like it when the movie took itself very seriously. And then it just kind of, like I said, it kind of went back down a little bit into this weird middle ground where it didn't quite know exactly what it wanted to be all the time. It was tonally a little bit messy for me. And I think that's the most important thing I would have to say about it. Or certainly the most bold thing I have to say about it. But I did enjoy it when it had its main message of we actually have to listen to the young people and we actually have to, you know, treat them with respect because, you know, they may see a danger that the rest of us don't.
And The Blob itself has had a couple of... it's known in, like, mass media now. I believe there was talks of Rob Zombie remaking it at one point.
Oh, goodness me.
Could you imagine the carnage of a Rob Zombie Blob film?
Wow. You know, if there's one person I wouldn't have put The Blob to, it really is Rob Zombie. I mean, Rob Zombie excels with weird people, unusual, you know, individuals with distinct personalities. The Blob is everything opposite of that. The Blob is not distinct. The Blob is a blob. It's not sentient. It has no personality. It's just a thing that moves and consumes. There's no character to it. And that's the interesting thing about it, the fact that it is so abstract. It's almost a little bit of a precursor to your unstoppable slasher villains, who, a la Michael Myers, who just walk all over the place and destroy everything in their path because they're just indestructible.
Thinking like the shark from Jaws as well.
Yeah. It almost feels like a precursor to those kind of things, which I quite like. I quite like about, you know, the idea of it very much. It was a strange little movie for me. And I'm not quite sure what I actually expected from it. Or maybe it was just the added theatricality and campiness, which wasn't quite there. So maybe it kind of threw me off, especially given how the movie opens in the opening credits with that ridiculous song. I thought, right, we're in for a stupid, silly movie, and yes, I'm going to really enjoy this. And then I did enjoy it, but it was just, it wasn't 100% what I was expecting and rather hoping it to be. But I do love that song because it's just ridiculous. How I'm trying to think about what it is now, but it's like, beware of the blob. It glides and slides and slips and slides over the floor. It's the blob, yay. It's just the stupidest song in the entire world. And for some reason, in my almost 25 years of living, I've never come across this song before in my entire life, and I want to know how. How have I not heard this song before? It's the best. I might set it as my new alarm in a morning. Legitimately, it was great. It was my favorite part of the entire movie because it was the silliest, and I wanted silliness, Nolan.
I think the main mistake might have been setting it in a town. I feel this concept would work in like a more isolated location, like a shopping mall or something, where there's a lot of vents, a lot of places to hide. You can do a lot of really cool sequences. But having it in a town, it's just like, it's almost like you're giving yourself too much to do. Like, oh, let's see what it's like through a doctor's office, through a supermarket, through a theater. And I get that it's going for a sort of, I guess, kind of a plague type thing. This thing just keeps evolving and getting beaker and attacking other people and stuff. But I don't know. I'd like to see a version of the blob where it's a very isolated location.
Yeah. I mean, that in certainly if you wanted it to be much more focused as a monster movie, you could do that. But I think them setting it in a small town speaks to their message angle of, you know, small town mentality that's a little bit set in its ways kind of attitude. I think that's why it's probably set in a small town. That's at least what I understood from it. That's at least what I got from it. But I agree, if you want to make a much more of a monster focused movie, because it does seem like, you know, at times the blob is not on screen for extended periods of time, and you're thinking, where's the blob? Yes, Steve McQueen, you're very good. Yes, I'm interested in you trying to make everybody believe that the blob exists, but I'm starting to think the blob doesn't exist because it's been 15 minutes and I haven't seen the blob. Where's the blob? Oh, good, there's the blob. It's crawled up from underneath a sewer.
You're going to enjoy the 80s one way more because I hear the blob gets way more screen time in it.
I want screen time for the blob. I want the blob to, you know, contort itself into strange shapes. Not that it doesn't do that anyway, but in terms of like...
You want what? Venom at the end of Spider-Man 3 when he's separated from Eddie Brock. The big Venom monster.
Maybe. But also, how interesting would it be if the blob could make itself, like a little part of it, just transform into like a sword-shaped blob, and it just stabbed somebody to kill somebody, rather than just gobbling them into its massive gelatinous material?
I think that's the scary thing, is that you can't outrun it. Like, no matter what, it's not going to like do all those crazy things, but it will catch up to you. It doesn't get tired. It just does its thing, and that's the scary thing about it. This thing will eventually consume you. It's a basic, especially being set in the 50s, it's probably a allegory for plagues.
I mean, it could be plagues. I mean, for God's sake, it's small town America. It could be, oh God, no, communism's terrifying. Could be that. Probably is that. look at this red thing. It's definitely that. The blob's red and it gets redder. It's definitely communism. I'm sorry. It's clicked in my mind. 110%. This is small town America. This is the all-American blonde, blue-eyed Steve McQueen, who's just, yay, I'm the oldest teenager on the planet. Oh, God, I'm terrified of a huge, ever-growing red thing. It's definitely communism. Success. I've understood the blob. Well done, Morgan.
In that I'm case, the 80s myself. One... What, the 80s one is Reagan, I guess. It's in your face. It's everywhere.
That could be communist. Probably communism as well. For decades, America was obsessed with communism, Nolan. You know this.
And you know if they made the blob nowadays, it would be a very obvious COVID metaphor.
No, we don't want... No, this is the one thing we don't want in movies and TV.
Wear a mask. In case the blob comes to get you. It doesn't like you when you wear a mask.
And what do you feel about that? What do you honestly feel about that? Because, look, this movie was a success. I think I read somewhere that Steve McQueen was, I think, offered a salary for his performance or a percentage of the profits. And what he ended up, you know, being paid as the salary, because he agreed to the salary, was significantly less than what he would have got had he gone for the percentage of the profit. So I think the movie was a success. So obviously,
it's a perfect kind of drive-in movie. So I get why it was a success. Yeah.
It's you know, people are going out flocking to see these movies that speak to the fears and the questions and the culture of their time. Now, I'm not going to do that with anything that remotely brings up COVID in its movie or TV. I'm just not going to do it. And I don't think anybody else is. I think the last thing anybody wants to go to the cinema and watch or put on, you know, a show on a streamer and watch is some thinly veiled allegory of COVID. Nobody wants it. And I don't like that it might happen.
It's definitely going to happen at some point. I think a couple years from now. Probably not right now. But it will happen.
I never want entertainment media to mention or to even think about that it happened. It's wrong to say that. It's wrong to say that. I want people in decades to come to understand that it happened, of course, but I don't want them to have to watch a ridiculous movie where... I mean, just watch all the... There's I'm getting in my own head about it, but there's been good pandemic movies made way before this one. Watch those. It's the same thing. You know, I don't know. I'm thinking too much about that now. The blob, Nolan. Were you there for? Considering that I think you enjoyed this movie more than I did, watching it from the angle of a monster movie rather than watching it from what I almost preferred watching it as, which was its message. It's we're not going to believe the youth. The youth are terrified of the oncoming red storm.
I'm more there for the monster element, but I do appreciate those, even though, I mean, I've seen them in a lot of movies before. I've seen them in every Scooby-Doo episode. I've seen them in most YA stories. I've seen them in goddamn Footloose.
Yeah. Footloose, what a double feature. The Blob and Footloose, that doesn't work in the slightest.
They're trying to host a dance while the Blob is there.
The Blob's dancing. The Blob's just shaking like jelly. He's just dancing.
The next Step Up movie will feature the Blob. Remember that franchise?
And, And then at the end of the movie, the blob just consumes everyone and says, no more dancing. The blob should speak. I'm trying to humanize the blob, Nolan, and I shouldn't be trying to humanize the blob. It's
who should voice the blob?
Ooh. Who is a blob as a person? Let's think of people who aren't... That's offensive. I'm not going to... No, why have I said that? I'm not going to...
Someone who has a very thunderous, commanding presence, I would say...
Thunderous and commanding. The blob's not thunderous and commanding. It's just Blobby. Mr. Blobby. Mr. Blobby can voice.
Oh, God, no. I've tried to block out that fucking thing.
Let's just be thankful that this movie was The Blob and not The Blobby Movie.
In that case, get John Barrowman to voice The Blob, then.
Look...
That's a very UK reference.
It is. But people, I do think, are probably semi-aware of the existence of something called Mr. Blobby. And if people aren't, I would recommend just doing a quick search for Mr. Blobby and just to understand what we're talking about, because this creation.
Oh, it's horrifying.
It is horrifying. I mean, it is horrifying. It is the most horrendous, disturbing, ridiculously popular children's 90s UK character ever. It's just horrendous. And look, the blob in its abstract terror... Maybe terrifying. Yes, damn Noel Edmonds, of course. And yeah, the blob may be terrifying in itself, and its all-consuming, never-stopping, indestructible nature. But Mr. Blobby is about 1,000 times more terrifying. And Mr. Blobby can't kill you, or at least I don't think Mr. Blobby can kill you. God, what a nightmare that would be to have when you're asleep at 3 a.m.
If that's happened, then though the BBC's definitely covered it up.
Well, let's not get into things that could be possibly happening there. I don't trust...
The British Blob Casting Company.
It's just Mr. Blobby on endless cycles.
Mr. Blobby in every UK TV show that exists. He's in Coronation Street, God. Top Gear, Hell's Kitchen, fucking Kitchen Nightmares.
Is he in the background or is he like front and centre?
Oh, he's definitely front and centre. Oh,
for God's sake, you can't get away from him. He's like the Blob.
He's headlining Comic Relief this year.
Oh, for God's sake. He is like the blob. He is like blob by name, blob by nature.
Not like the blob from X-Men, who is actually a very endearing character.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up next. Like, I think the blob should have been voiced by whoever played the blob of the X-Men.
Kevin Durant.
Sure.
The dude I believe his most famous role was Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs.
No, that was Ted Levine.
I'm sure it's the same guy.
That was Ted Levine in.
Oh no, when he's Lambs. I'm confused. When he's playing Blob in X-Men, he sounds like Buffalo Bill.
Oh, that's weird.
Kevin Durant is just a random character actor.
Well, there we go. Anyway, Nolan, anything else we want to bring up about this movie?
The little kid shooting it with a toy gun is the best and worst thing I've seen in a movie ever.
Do you know what? I feel exactly the same way. It was quite sweet until it really wasn't sweet and you actually thought, oh dear, no, this is so 50s America.
I can compare it to other things that I've seen take the premise. So in the Goosebumps thing, Monster Blood, it's essentially the same kind of process, but they did something quite horrifying in an episode of Goosebumps, and I think it was based on a sequel to the book, where the monster blood, or the blob, was on an airplane.
Ooh.
And that, to me, sounds way more frightening, because you literally cannot escape that.
No, you can't. There's no drag racing, there's no, you know, driving up to Lover's Canyon or whatever stupid name they call it, where Steve McQueen takes his date. Oh, you know, yeah. every small town in America has somewhere like that, don't they? Oh, it's Lover's Overlook, where everybody in the 50s, it's always the 50s as well, everybody in the 50s takes their dates and drives them up in massive convertible Cadillacs.
In Glasgow, it's Lover's Bin Collection.
Well, that just sounds sad. You know, is it nicer to have a little romantic date at the top of like an overlook of some woods, or a desert, or inside a landfill?
Wherever Mr. Blobby isn't, that is where you have your date.
Mr. Blobby's everywhere. Mr. Blobby is omnipresent. That's the point of him. He's everywhere. You can't get away from him.
He's running for Prime Minister this year.
He'll probably win.
He was probably a guest at the Downing Street Christmas party.
Almost certainly. Almost certainly. If not, maybe the Prime Minister himself actually dressed up as Mr. Blobby.
Boris Johnson is Mr. Blobby personified. However, I do hear at the Downing Street Christmas party that Boris Johnson lost a game of Scrabble to Mr. Blobby.
Brilliant. I can just... My mind has gone completely insane with the
I would happily release the blob in the Houses of Parliament, considering what's going on there now.
That's a good idea. It's not a good idea, though, is it? Because all of a sudden the blob would get itself out of Parliament and, you know, eat the country. And then the world. And, well, are we led to believe that that's what happens at the end of this movie? Actually, I will ask you this. How do you feel about the way in which the blob is ultimately defeated?
I expected that to happen. I mean, you're not going to... I thought the electrocution would have been a more interesting way for it to go out, but the way it dies is inconsequential to the way it represents the entire town standing up to the thing.
Yes.
But it freezing, it's basically, it becomes the prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing.
It does a little bit. It does a little bit. I liked how the blob got so big it actually just decided to eat a building. I thought that was quite good.
An eco-friendly way to do demolishing. I mean, maybe we can get the blob to become a vegetarian, and it could destroy all the plastic in the world that's like filling up landfills. Oh, you know, if the blob actually existed, that's what they'd be trying to do, get it to do.
Eco-blob. No, but then where would the blob go? Imagine if the blob just consumed all of the waste plastic in landfills in the entire world. The blob would be enormous. The blob would be too large. You can't get rid of the blob. That's the point of it. You can't just have the blob doing it. You need to remove such substances. You can't just make those substances into a bigger thing that's just in one place.
Did you enjoy when the blob was in the supermarket and refusing to buy the stuff in the tins or even consume them?
I did, yes. I enjoyed the supermarket scene, actually, when Steve McQueen's date, Jane, she gets nearly eaten by the blob. Which is unpleasant, obviously.
Because there's a scarier element to the blob in the 80s one, where you see a guy fall into essentially the blob mass and then re-emerge just completely dissolved as a skeleton, and it's proper frightening.
Yeah, see, I like that. And you don't get any of that, do you? You just kind of see someone.
I guess it's because they didn't have the tech for it to make it convincing in the 50s.
No, I mean, that's sure. Yes, okay. Okay, but look, we've seen, and it is, and it does have very good effects in it, but I've seen weird stuff happen in the 30s and the 20s even, that they could have made it a little bit just that over, just more over the top. This is what I was crying out for. This is what I've been crying out for. This is why I keep bringing it up. I wanted this movie to be more over the top than it was, which doesn't mean that I didn't enjoy it. Doesn't mean that I didn't like it. Doesn't mean that I didn't appreciate it. It just means that if I was to make The Blob, I would make it the most crazy ass movie going. Or I would try to. I probably wouldn't succeed.
You get like some outlandish character actor to play a mad scientist who's running after the blob.
Yeah. Yes. Who's just like, I knew this thing existed somewhere. I've seen it in my dreams.
That's what Christopher Lloyd does in every horror movie he's in now.
Christopher Lloyd is old. No, that's just a statement, but he is. Christopher Lloyd should be lying down, resting somewhere.
He's doing small roles in like sci-fi B movies now, where he's basically playing Doc Brown, but weirder.
It makes sense. It does make sense. I don't hate that. But yeah, I mean, look, what is the end of this movie then, Nolan? They obviously freeze the blob after it tries to eat an entire diner with the people still inside the diner. And the only way... Here's a question for you, actually. How the hell did they manage to telephone the diner inside the diner when the blob has eaten the diner? Surely the blob has removed the telephone lines from the diner after it's consumed it. How did they manage to telephone it? Or does that really not matter and I'm just trying to nitpick things?
The yellow pages exist beyond the blob.
If there's one thing that can stop the blob, it's the power of communications towers. No, it's the power of community spirit, Nolan. That's what can stop the blob.
What I would have loved is that maybe at the end, it's like the end of Dream Warriors, where you see all the souls Freddy's captured on his torso. Maybe you see all the people the blob has consumed, just like really ghastly and shit.
See, they could have done that. I'm now also again thinking about the end of The Fly and how absolutely freakishly horrible the ending of The Fly is. From 1958, the same year The Blob came out. You know, seeing the weird little fly man amalgamation in that spider's web, it's really freaky. Why couldn't they have just had faces half submerged into a frozen blob?
I think they might do that in the 80s one. I don't know if they do, but I know the 80s one is by far way more gruesome than this.
Well, I also think that would have just made it feel a little bit more campy, and I just like that as well. Maybe not even gruesome, like I said, just something that makes that something that provokes a strong reaction in me, rather than just me for 85 minutes going, oh, that's good. I want something to just say either, oh, that's horrible, or yeah, that's great. I just want something that just pushes me over
your gross out like carnage from the blob.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little
you
bit.
You don't want it to look like the dessert that your nan always serves you, even when you don't like jelly.
I don't really like jelly, to be honest. I don't.
The texture of... I mean, people, our American audience probably enjoys Jell-O, as they refer to it over there.
Yes, that's right.
We call it jelly, and it is disgusting.
It does look like the blob, to be fair. It looks exactly like the blob. It's just a wobbly mass of wobble.
What you should have had is that the blob tries to eat a retirement home, but because the nans just have so many of those trifle bowls just collecting dust.
Oh, and just imagine, I'm now imagining that the blob is defeated by a collection of old people with knives who are just cutting little bits off the blob to make into desserts.
I mean, I've seen some Jell-O salad things from the 80s. It doesn't look that much different.
Madness. Absolute insanity.
Also, whoever decided to make jelly savory, what are you doing?
I'm not questioning the creators of jelly, Nolan. I'm not doing. But you have continually referred to this movie being a weird prequel to John Carpenter's The Thing. How so?
And it goes into the Arctic. It's a monster that consumes things and then, well, it doesn't become them. Maybe it learns that throughout the 80s. I don't know, it just feels like the sequel of this movie would be a bunch of guys in the Arctic and the blob just breaks from the ice again. And you can't freeze it again because you're in the Arctic.
Yeah, he's learnt how to cope with the cold.
Yeah, it went out and bought a fucking puffer jacket.
Ooh, the blob too, the blob, has a nice jumper.
Which, by the way, whoever invented puffer jackets, why?
Do you not like those?
I don't like looking like the Michelin Man when I go outside.
Some people do. Some people really do. Some people buy, like, massive ones.
I like my varsity jackets. That's what I wear going outside.
You do. Yes, you do. Do you, though, like nice jumpers, like what the blob would wear in the sequel that I am calling The Blob 2, : The Blob Now Has a Nice Jumper? It's just the blob in the Arctic. It's basically the thing, like you said, but it's just the blob. And he's just wearing a really thick woolen turtleneck. And it just fits him really nicely. And he just keeps getting bigger and bigger as he gets bigger. I mean, I'm referring to the blob as he. Who the hell knows what the blob is? The blob's just the blob. The blob is genderless. Utterly genderless.
A weird sort of sexless, genderless mast.
How does the blob come into being? That's my question. No answers are given in this movie.
It's only just a thing that fell out of the sky.
Where did it come from? Where did it come from, Nolan? I don't know. A shooting star.
I reckon, was this around the time of the moon landing?
No. Think about your years, Nolan. This was 1958. The moon landing was in 1969.
Yeah, and they didn't have the technology to film it yet, so...
Conspiracies being thrown out now? Surely not. Have we reached that stage of the episode?
No. The moon landing was totally real.
And
at least that's what they want you to think.
And Elvis Presley's alive and well and living in Argentina.
Yes. Ukrainian killer dolphins pass messages between cities promoting wars.
Oh, for God's sake. Weird.
The blob is actually a real thing that Hollywood is trying to keep under control. And you know how you get actors who are very, like, popular for a couple of years and they just disappear? That's because they're being fed to the blob.
I want an example of an actor.
Sam Worthington.
I saw Sam Worthington in a TV show that my dad, I think, was watching about a month ago. So he is actually still alive. Not that we would know.
Dane DeHaan.
Oh, that's a good one, actually. I haven't seen him in years. Where's he been?
Toby Maguire. The actual Toby Maguire that they brought back for No Way Home was a CGI recreation of him a la Moff Tarkin in Rogue One.
Well, the technology's come a long way in 5 years then. That's good. I like that. Fantastic. Fantastic.
And the guy who played Mr. Ditkovich in the original Raimi movies, the Blob took him.
Oh, yeah, he's never been in anything else. I don't think he has, anyway. But...
And Tony Blair.
That's true, you never see him either anymore. But... Here's another thing. We will begin to wrap up the show now, I think. But I also just wanted to say that another angle the movie could have taken that I think I would have appreciated it more had it done so was become a little bit more of a gimmick. And I know that sounds like, why do you want things to become a gimmick? Because then for some reason it just feels like it's part of something when it's like that. You know, like House of Wax, Vincent Price's House of Wax from 1953 is so obviously 3D, it's a little bit insulting. Like that sort of thing. Like I
or
just
like
want
the
my...
Tingler, where they
all the Tingler. Anything to do with William Castle. That's what this movie's missing. This movie's missing William Castle. Instead, behind the making of this movie are people who I'm led to believe were specialists in making Christian movies. And by Christian movies, I do mean churchy movies.
Like your God's Not Dead and that franchise.
No, like educational churchy movies. Like they weren't really movies properly. As far as I'm led to believe. The Blob wants William Castle and it doesn't have William Castle. And that is its key that would have taken it to that next level.
I do think the Blob would make a good Halloween costume. Anyone who can pull that off convincingly. So I mean,
you need just a generally blobby kind of person. And I'm not going to name names because it's very offensive to refer to a human being as a blob.
Unless their name is Boris Johnson.
No, he's a glob. He's not a blob. He's definitely a questionable foodstuff you serve to 7-year-olds in the 70s.
What, he's a Lunchables?
A packet of Lunchables cut up into... I'm not... Why am I thinking about Boris Johnson being cut up into strange shapes for children to then eat? Where do you make my mind travel to? That's my question. I mean, what?
I once referred to Boris Johnson as a great big bouncy castle with Alzheimer's.
I'm scared of you. I am. I'm genuinely scared of you. I am also scared of the Blob. Is there any last little point you would like to make about this lovely bit of 50s sci-fi famousness?
I think it would have done better to see the consumption of the Blob's victims in the most 50s way possible.
Yes. Rather than just cutting to somebody not being there.
Perhaps like maybe they steam up or something, or they become very pink.
Oh. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Or it's like, you know, the pool scene in Poltergeist where the skeletons rise up? Something like that.
Do we then have to deal with ancient curses and strange production?
No. Or Mr. Incredible trying to protect his house. Nice little trivia of Poltergeist there for you.
Well done. You're very clever. You're very smart, and we appreciate you for all that. We also appreciate, Nolan, you choosing to talk about the Blob
1958. Who do you think would direct a good modern Blob movie?
Nobody. Nobody. The Blob should remain in its format of yesteryear.
I want to see James Cameron do it.
What?
Because
Why?
The technology he has spent a decade making for Avatar, do you not think he would make an excellent Blob movie if he had all the resources he wanted? The Blob as big as the Titanic, chasing you like Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator until you inevitably end up on Pandora, as it's the only island that the Blob does not like to go to.
Would the Blob at least have a nice turtleneck to wear?
Sure.
That, and I'm fine with that then. I'm fine with that being a thing. I've got absolutely no idea who would pull off a convincing Blob movie, because like with nearly every semi-serious 50s sci-fi horror movie, what you need to have more than it just being a monster movie is genuine cultural messages, and the Blob does have that, so someone would need to bring that in, and you can't forget about that, I don't think, unless you were going absolutely balls to the wall crazy with it and making it more of a shock movie, more of a tense kind of, almost more of an action type movie, which would also be perfectly valid and appears to be, as you say, what the 1988 remake treats it like. Which
it's a lot more frightening. From the clips I've seen, it's very frightening.
So I have no idea who would make a convincing modern Blob, because what would the Blob be an allegory of? What would the Blob...
All I know is there would definitely be a scene where a bunch of guys with their mobile phones start recording the Blob, warning it that if it tries anything, it will get immediately cancelled. And yes, that is a dig at the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre trailer, you fuckwits. Who approved that?
I haven't seen this new Texas Chainsaw.
Leatherface basically is threatened to be cancelled right before, presumably massacring an entire party bus.
To be cancelled, like,
there is a guy who holds up a phone while Leatherface is holding a chainsaw, clearly ready to kill someone, and he says, "Try anything and get cancelled, bro." Whedon was out of Hollywood. Why?
What? That is insulting to my very being. I had no idea. I had no intention of watching a new Texas Chainsaw movie or watching a trailer for a new Texas Chainsaw movie. I certainly have no intention of doing it now. That hurts me. I won't be able to sleep tonight, Nolan.
Well,
it causes me great pain.
Yeah, so the Blob would get cancelled in a modern movie.
Well, probably, yes. Much like everything. Although some people do for valid reasons.
Before inevitably being invited on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Oh, yes. That's right. Yes, everybody who...
Where at least they will consume Joe Rogan so I can stop looking at his stupid, broken Lego figure face.
I think he looks like... He looks like somebody. He looks... like a racist that you meet. I mean, he looks like a racist is a perfectly valid statement. He looks like, I'm not calling, I don't know. What am I saying? You bring out the worst in me.
You know, he looks like, do you remember that episode of Batman the Animated Series where Bane first shows up?
Not well enough, I don't think, no.
Where Batman causes Bane to have a near overdose on Venom and he's constantly just inflating
to
the point of almost having a heart attack. That is what Joe Rogan looks like.
Yeah, that's why I said, like, I was going to say, he looks like a racist that you meet on a cheap holiday who never wears sun lotion. And he's veins just popping out of his head because he's just so red and burnt and scalding that he just looks like... And, like, I say racist because he's bald and angry, and that's just a bit of a stereotype that I'm just...
He looks like a whitewashed Mr. Big from Live and Let Die.
Specifically the end of Live and Let Die.
Yeah.
That, do you know what? That's way better than my... That's why you actually make jokes and I'm whatever the hell I am. A whitewashed Mr. Big from the end of Live and Let Die. That's a perfect description. Way better than a racist you meet on a cheap holiday who never wears sun lotion.
Basically any place in Benidorm, really.
I still think he looks like that. I really do. Like a deeply unpleasant person who you would never, ever want to come across.
No.
Oh, dear. Who definitely has a poorly spelt nationalistic tattoo.
Oh.
You know what I mean? You know, that those kind of people.
Definitely.
Those kind of people. That was very judgy of me, I suppose, but...
You know what? Let's let the blob loose on the Joe Rogan podcast.
Yeah.
So we never have to hear from that overgrown balloon man again.
Yes. Yes. Let us end the show there. Well done. What success. Thank you. Lovely stuff. The Blob 1958 is what we have been talking about today on episode 196 of It's a Wonderful Podcast. It's been a nonsense one as usual, but what do you expect when it's us two on this show? It is not the only show we have on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed, though. Of course, we have Morgan Hasn't Seen every Wednesday, and it's February. It's the month of love. So me and Janine are talking romance movies all February. We're doing double features, themed double features. This week we were doing period romance movies, so it was A Walk in the Clouds and Water for Elephants. And we answered the question, very important question I might ask Nolan, actually, and you will be able to give me an answer. Who is sexier, Keanu Reeves or Robert Pattinson?
Ooh. Now, I think they're both extremely handsome men. But if I had to choose, I would go Keanu.
No, see, Keanu's a popular choice there. A very, very popular choice there.
Just because I've heard what Robert Pattinson does in his spare time.
Well, that is also true, yes. Keanu is a far...
I don't want to be making mac and cheese with plastic cheese and sugar in the microwave.
No, no. Keanu's a much more altogether kind of sensible individual.
I feel like if you went on a date with Robert Pattinson, you'd have to find a map to leave his apartment.
He probably lives in the Winchester house, yes. I'd imagine he does. Staircases that go nowhere and doors that open into walls and that kind of thing. He seems like that kind of person.
Yeah, I'm sure he's a very nice guy, but I'd go Keanu for that one.
There we go. Romance movies all month on Morgan Hasn't Seen. Machine Mondays, I believe, is back this coming Monday. Although I think I said that last week as well. I'm not 100% sure, but Machine Mondays is, of course, with Janine, the machine herself, of the Movie Trivia Schmodown, talking all the Schmodown things, and it's certainly back for the 2022 Schmodown season that I believe we've had one episode this year already. I'm almost certain it's back on Monday. Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Anyway, we have you covered here on the It's a Wonderful Podcast feed. You can find us on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Amazon Music, and all the other places. We have the Patreon, patreon.com/It's a Wonderful One. It's a Wonderful Podcast on Patreon. Find the tier that's right for you and support us there if you are feeling particularly generous. There's been a few additions, few changes to some of the tiers in the last couple of weeks that we hope are good and we want to try and do, because you deserve it if you are a patron of It's a Wonderful Podcast. We also have the YouTube channel, of course, for you to subscribe to and do your notification bell dings on for all the live discussions, watch-alongs, other fun videos we have on there and have coming to there. Find the show on Twitter at It's a Wonderful One. Find me on Twitter at The Purple Don with a 3 instead of the E in there, because 3 is, of course, the magic number. On Instagram at just The Purple Don. Nolan, all your blobby things are where?
At NolanDean27 on Twitter, at TheGlasgowKid1 on Twitter, and you might be seeing me performing live at a couple more other things this coming month, as I will be performing at the Open Mic React in Strathclyde University next March, doing some brand new jokes. We will also be putting on Macbeth, where I am going for the role of Duncan, and I hope I get it, because I am planning to grow a beard out for the role and then dye it the same color as my hair, which is going to be amazing.
You have to refer to it as the Scottish play if you are in a production of it. You've already broken the rules.
Yes, but we are not in a theatre.
Yes, but it is still a theatrical production.
Yeah, so that should be really fun. Dr. Faustus was another option, but Macbeth won it in the end.
That'd have been a good one, though. Fausty.
I am just glad we did not go with The Cherry Orchard, as was the other option, as I read through the script several times and I still have no idea what it's about.
Well, that's probably a good thing. Anyway, now is the time for me to say thank you all very much for listening to this episode of It's a Wonderful Podcast. Until next time, I will say a hearty, blobby-filled goodbye and ask Nolan to do whatever the hell he wants, because he hasn't been eaten by the blob yet.
Well, before we go, I'd like to leave you with this thought. Our lives are full of unanswered questions. Do other serial killers consider Jeffrey Dahmer to be a bit of a greedy bastard? Does the JK in JK Rowling stand for Jumped Up Karen? Do cats know that their arseholes aren't normal? And is this why they keep showing them to us? Does this look normal to you, buddy? I'm worried it looks a bit like a ham Cheerio.
Oh.
I've been thinking a lot about mortality. No one prepares you for getting older. Someone sits you down at puberty and has a talk. But no one warns you that when you're 45, you're going to be ejaculating like a party popper from a flood-damaged pound shop.
Oh, dear.
One day, you'll see that you've developed brown spots on your skin. Look down and realize that if you were a banana, you'd be thrown away. I'm aware that certain words mean different things to different people. For example, in Glasgow, the word entrepreneur refers to someone who'll murder your ex for 80 quid. So what about the word superstition? I'd say I'm highly skeptical of most superstitions. I don't believe that drinking the blood of virgins keeps you young. I just like the taste. I've been thinking a lot about getting old and starting to work, and realizing newspapers were going out of business, I was worried I'd get a lot of flack for welcoming it, as I used to work for a newspaper. That, to me, is the most middle-class attitude you can have. The idea that because you work somewhere, you must like it. All I'm saying is that the cleaners in the Twin Towers on 9/11 must have had really mixed feelings.
Wow. Wow.
To be fair, I think this is because the middle class still don't understand the working class, which is why they keep lying to them in job interviews. When asked, where do you see yourself in 5 years, rarely do you get the answer, standing in the ruins of this building, pissing on the ruins of your burning skull. I turn 26 soon. It's an age where you realize that the last time you gave your partner an orgasm was when they looked out the window to see the neighbor reversing over your foot. You realize that not only are you going to die, but your planet and species will die with you. We are not the first civilization to be wiped out by our own hubris, but we are the first to be right about it. Of course, you do what you can for the planet. I don't drive, but there are times where I forget to recycle plastic, so I decided to carbon offset by buying a serial killer a camper van. Experts believe that in 20 years, parts of Dundee and Swansea could be underwater, but it isn't all good news. In the ocean, there's a plastic continent, sitting atop the Pacific, made of our own plastic bottles, used condoms, and wet wipes, currently being run by a new group of pirates. Who are these pirates? Where do they come from? It's simple. They're the lost children who survived being thrown off billionaires' yachts. These child pirates are a jolly bunch, except for the small moment of introspection where they find milk cartons drifting in the ocean with their own faces on them.
Oh.
Our end will come as a generational war in which our drowned cities will be pillaged at the hands of these child pirates, who will build their own raft of plastic bottles, used condoms, and wet wipes. The very children born into the world to keep the machine running will storm our beaches with their plastic cutlasses, deep-seated anger, and their 3D-printed nuclear warheads to recycle us into something more worthwhile. A lesson for us all. Good night.
You are a miserable, miserable person. Bye.